There was a surprise address to the nation by the Prime Minister today. In fact, the moment his handle, his Twitter handle, PMO India, put out the announcement in the morning, there was speculation, but this time, I think we pretty much knew, we had a good idea what was this going to be about. There was going to be no big surprise at this point. This is the season of COVID-19 second wave. The wave is right now waning. So we were all expecting a statement from him about maybe condolences, sympathies for those who've suffered, but also plans going ahead. And there was also widespread expectation that he will speak about sort of rebooting the vaccination program. One, because a lot of the states have been pushing back, saying this is not working. Second, from the first week of April, we have begun to see vaccine shortages. In fact, mid-April, the Prime Minister had said, let's have vaccine utsav of Tika utsav of 3 days. One of those days, the numbers went up, and since then, the numbers have been declining, and they declined quite badly. Lately, for the past 3-4 days, they seem to be picking up sort of in 3 million, 3.5 million doses a day. So a correction was expected, and the correction happened. The states were demanding it, and also there was a huge pushback coming from Supreme Court of India, which was asking tough questions, which was getting impatient, showing signs of impatience, and also asking for proper documentation and disclosure of the government, central government's vaccination policy and the facts and deliberations on which it was based. So let's get the two big headlines out of the way. The two big decisions, which in my view, if I may give my view, occasionally I do that, in my view are both excellent decisions, both good decisions. One, to say that center will now carry out a centralized purchase of all the vaccines to be given free to citizens of India in any age group, 18 onwards. This now takes away that very confusing three-step policy, or the triple-decker policy, or that three-wheel vehicle. What was that vehicle? That 50% of all the vaccines produced in India, central government will procure, but there is a catch, and I will come to that. 50% central government will procure, of the remaining 50%, 25% will be reserved for states to buy, and another 25% private companies will be able to sell to private sector, whoever wants to buy, laissez-faire, at a price that they set for the private sector. Now, I told you there was going to be a catch. The catch was that there were three prices. So, one price the central government was to pay, that price was fixed. That was 150 rupees, $2. WHO pays for Indian vaccine, which right now, internationally, only one vaccine is being bought, that is Serum Institute of India's AstraZeneca or Covishield. $3. So central government was to pay $2, but vaccine makers were at liberty to charge what they wanted with the state government. So each vaccine maker then set its own price. One was about twice the price, and that also he said after a great deal of philanthropy, he said twice the price at which central government was buying it. The second one, that is Bharat Biotech, was charging an even higher price than adjusted a little bit, but still higher than Serum Institute. So there was the second price for the state governments. And then if any government was going to import from overseas, state government, that was going to be its own price. And once again, you got into a situation where state governments were now floating global tenders and asking for competitive bids. So you had the situation where 30 states from India were competing for a scarce commodity across the world. Now that is never the way this new vaccination policy should have been drafted. No differential pricing, because the moment the center uses its monopoly power to procure 50% at a particular price, first of all becomes very difficult for any state. So how would a state government justify to its own auditors, its own version of the CAG, that they were paying twice or thrice as much as the central government? Second, it was always going to be impossible for any state government to charge for these vaccines, for the center to think that they will give it for free and state governments will charge for the vaccine. So even if the state governments were to give the vaccines for free, they should have been given the same price as the central government. So this policy was toxified from the very beginning. It is never going to work. If we are one country, one system, one government, one citizenry, then you can't have differential pricing for the central government and for purchases by the central government and the state governments. Private sector, I don't talk about. So that was never going to work. It wasn't working, and that's now being changed. So center will procure 75% of all the vaccines produced in India at whatever price it negotiates with the manufacturers, or whatever price it orders the manufacturers to supply to it for, and let the private sector buy at a price that the manufacturers will set. But again, the center has fixed the profit that the private sector can charge. Profit is now a service charge of 150 rupees. Now, I might have some arguments with that, but we'll come to that later. But essentially, it's a good policy reversal now. It's a U-turn, but it's a good U-turn, because when you make a mistake, you realize a mistake. It's best to make a U-turn instead of perpetuating it, or instead of digging yourself further in the same hole. You want to blame somebody, there's always somebody to blame. You can blame the state governments for demanding it, as the Prime Minister did. You can also blame many in the media. Many of us said that this is over-centralized. Even I said it's over-centralized. But what is over-centralized is decision-making. The way to decentralize is not to say that I am the center, I am all-powerful, I'll buy 50% of the market where there is an oligopoly of suppliers and where there is a shortage of supplies, where demand is crazy. In that market, I will not monopolize 50% of the purchase of the production for myself at a set price. All of you now compete for price. That's not how it works. It used to work with zamindaris. The zamindar said that, old feudal said that, I will get all this, I'll buy all this agricultural produce in return for whatever, maybe interest on the loans your forefathers may have taken from me, and for the rest of you there is open market. So that is why this policy was fatally flawed. So it's a good thing that the Prime Minister has withdrawn it. Congratulations and compliments, but he should also raise some questions internally as to what kind of shambolic policy was devised in the name of liberalization or in the name of decentralization, because that is not the way to do it. And as the state governments also realized when they floated global tenders, the basic powers in India, the regulatory powers, the power to give indemnity, the power to clear a vaccine, the power to allow trials, the power to accept trial results, the power to grant licenses, it's all with the center. None of it is with the states. So one who has all these powers should also be doing the purchasing. Or if you want to delegate, you can also delegate these powers. That obviously is going to be tough. So I think it's a good thing. There is a good course correction made. Also, the vaccine supply is now easing a little bit, because after this center changed the policy on 28th of April and made it open to more categories, and also gave manufacturers the assurance they could earn a little more money from others, from the states and the private sector, and also that the market was being expanded with more age categories being opened. Since then, manufacturers have begun to make more vaccines. Those fresh batches are now being cleared quickly in Kasauli by the central drug laboratory. They've been waiting there for some time because there is a downtime for all this. And I believe from all data, it does look like in another 2 weeks, there'll be a lot more vaccine doses available. That is when this new reversed policy will now come in. 21st June, the Prime Minister is fixed. You know, he wants to make an event of everything. So this coincides with the International Yoga Day. Just as last time, he had said this coincides with Ambedkar Jayanti, and he also made it Tika Utsav, right? So that is being done right now. That's a good idea. Then there was much else. For example, he gave an account of how difficult the challenge was, and that sounded quite defensive, say for about 10 minutes, when he said nobody had imagined oxygen requirement will go up this high. Oxygen requirement was enormously more than what India could produce. Also, he took some time explaining why India's vaccination drive had been a slow burn or a slow start. And he said WHO, he invoked WHO more than once, although I'm not sure one should keep doing it these days, because WHO's own name right now needs quite a bit of cleaning up, particularly after the new revelations on the origins of the virus and how incompetent, if not complicit, WHO was with what was going on. Nevertheless, he said that WHO set the norms, and that's how we decided to first vaccinate health workers, then frontline workers, then people above a certain age, etc., etc. Again, if you allow me to slip in one moment of opinion, I would say that from the day after the first 15 days, once the category of healthcare workers was over, vaccination should have been opened up for everybody above the age of 45, because there was also some vaccine hesitancy at that time, that many people were not coming. So by opening up to a larger market, India would have been able to get the vaccination into more arms. But at the same time, it would then not have been possible to export those 6.5 crore dosages overseas. And yet again, it's part of the same comment from me, if India had been concerned early enough, if India had not become complacent when the first wave declined in September, mid-September onwards, and placed its orders and booked its doses in September, October, then it's not possible that all of India would have been vaccinated by now. India is a very large country and very big population, but another 10-15 crore arms would have got the vaccination into them, and that would have saved more lives by now. Nevertheless, India is right now improving its vaccination process. 23 crores have already been vaccinated. It looks like a large number. It's a larger number, say, even than the US, but as a percentage of population, it's very small. China claims a much larger number. I think the Chinese now claim more than 65 crore people having been vaccinated once with one dose, and going at crore and 60 lakh to crore and 80 lakhs a day. But somehow data coming from China is not really trusted anywhere. But it does seem that they are carrying out a lot of vaccinations and still have a lot of vaccine doses to spare to sell to others. So there are some lessons there, that advanced planning works. So we might have done advanced planning in many areas, and some of our vaccine manufacturers did advanced planning, particularly the one who had foreign orders already, that is Serum Institute. Our government was found wanting there. The second big decision here, the rest I'm not going into. He's talked about people who were critical, and he keeps on saying that criticism is fine, but then he says that people said one side doesn't fit all. That logic stays, and that's an argument for a different time. But it is not as if the answer to one side doesn't fit all, the answer to that is a three sizes fit everybody, because you know at least one size will fit me. But if you tell me my shoe size may be 44 or 42 or whatever it is, I don't remember, and maybe Europe, America, India, it all varies. So 42 or 44, but I can fit in 42. The person recording this may fit in maybe 40 because he's much younger than me, maybe, or maybe 46 because he's much bigger than me. But can I fit in 40? If I fit in 42, can I fit in 40, 46, 48, 52? My kurta is size 40, right? Maybe I can manage size 42, but can I manage size 48 or size 34? It doesn't work like that. So one size doesn't fit all is correct logic. Similarly, three sizes fit all is an even more flawed logic. So that is the brief point I want to make to explain this. So I'm glad at the same time, subah ka bhula, sham ko ghar aa jaye, to bhula nahi kehlata, that's a good thing. Then he's talked about some other interesting things. The second big decision that he's announced is that the free food grain program that he had announced when the pandemic first came for poor families in India, 80 crore poor families who have ration cards. That will now continue, that will not be withdrawn, that will now continue till this Diwali, which is in November this year. And I can tell you, if it's still November this year, by that time we'll be full on preparing for Uttar Pradesh elections. So chances are it will then be extended up to maybe some other date, maybe Baisakhi next year or some date next year. Chances are it will go on. But the fact also is that India has a lot of food grains. Now, what he does not do is succumb to pressures and demands, say from Congress and others, to start making large cash payouts, large as in volume, not 6,000 rupees, 5,000 rupees a month to the poor people of India is not a large amount for the individual. But when you multiply it by the number of people who would have needed that or who would have deserved that, that number is very large. So he has not fallen for that, but at the same time he has said that he is extending this help in kind. Now this grain has already been procured. This year Government of India has carried out record wheat procurement, and I suspect the same thing will happen with paddy going ahead, because right now Government of India is going out of its way also to procure as much as possible to counter the farm protests. So once it's been bought, it can be distributed. That is better than rotting in the godowns. But if you have to distribute cash, cash is always better than kind. But if you have to distribute cash, then you have to print money. Then you print money, then you have inflation, and then many other consequences also visit you. So the Congress party and many in the opposition are stuck with these big cash transfers. Rahul Gandhi, Congress party, 6,000 rupees a month, Nyay scheme. Maybe they can implement it, or maybe the poor of India have to wait for them to come to power and start printing money and implement it. So while many have advised already in the private sector and in the opposition to start printing money and distribute, he hasn't done it. I would say that's a good decision, and also giving free grain up to Diwali at least, if not till longer, is also a good decision, because when free grain comes in people's, poor people's hands in kind, then it frees up that much money, that much of these small incomes in these households that's available to do other things with it. So it's an indirect cash subsidy, not as good as cash subsidy, but less unaffordable than cash subsidy. Now, having said that, he talked about two things which was sort of unlike in an address to the nation. He said a lot of people, a lot of forces try to defame, demoralize, etc., etc., India's vaccination program or India's vaccine makers. Frankly, the only people who've done it is a small community of anti-vaxxers, people who think that vaccines are evil. They are on the left and the right, and among the most prominent of them are some people or some religious leaders on the right, close to the BJP, whose name I shall not mention right now, because that becomes another dimension. We might talk about it in some detail at some other point of time. And then he said, vaad vivad, chita kashi, that there were too many taunts thrown at it, at his government, that his government was doing this wrong, that wrong. Now, that is part of politics. I'm not quite sure that belongs in an address to the nation in this context, in the context of the second wave. Then to blame the states for a lot that has gone wrong, particularly to blame the states on the vaccine policy, that this was done under pressure from the states. I think all I can do is I can display to you again the political map of India. If you look at the political map of India, you will see 17 states are ruled by the BJP or its allies, right? These are Kashmir and Ladakh, because these are union territories. Kashmir and Ladakh, Himachal Pradesh, Haryana, Uttarakhand, Uttar Pradesh, Gujarat, Madhya Pradesh, Bihar, Karnataka, Goa, and all seven states in the northeast, the BJP or its allies. So it's a lot of states. Opposition on the other hand has Punjab, Rajasthan, Maharashtra, Kerala, Tamil Nadu. Opposition means non-BJP. Not all of these are opposed to the BJP equally. For example, Odisha is quite friendly in many ways. So are Telangana and Andhra, not quite as hostile as some of the others. So Punjab, Rajasthan, Maharashtra, Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, Odisha, Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand, and West Bengal. These are the states which are with non-BJP parties or non-BJP allies. Today, I checked with my colleague DK Singh, our political editor, who made a quick calculation. It's almost a dead heat population-wise and area-wise. Today, about 50% of India's population, say exactly 49 point something percent, lives in the states with the BJP rules. 50% or about 50%, maybe 50.3 or 4% lives in states not ruled by the BJP. others, but this also includes some union territories like say Chandigarh, which do not have an assembly, which are not states. So I would say it's a dead heat of 50-50. 50% living in states ruled by the BJP, 50% in states not ruled by the BJP. 52% of India's area falls under states ruled by the BJP. So in this situation, it becomes a little bit rich for the Prime Minister to blame the opposition for putting pressure on him, whereby he had to make this policy flips. So what was a flip earlier has now become now flip-flopped. I'm not calling it a flop. Flip-flop is a different idiom. So it's now flip-flopped. Once again, it's a good course correction. And once again, extension of free grain scheme is a good thing. And once again, the larger message, whatever the packaging, is not that of cooperative federalism. The larger message is that this tussle with the states and this unending tussle with anybody who dares to criticize is very much on and shall continue to be so.